is next Thursday.
So we will find out.
Why do we would we care about baseball in Korea? I don't get it.
I don't know why they're putting baseball in South Korea for the Major League Baseball. I don't get it either. I don't like it. But why are we moving football over to Germany? Down it when we did it in Mexico. Why are we doing that?
Well, that. I get that they want to take the league more continental. But it seems to me like Canada would be the place to put it because they at least like American style football up there. I mean, it's Canadian football, but they have a version of our game down in Mexico. It's all soccer, so I don't know. They're also having the Eagles are playing in Brazil to start the season.
Yeah. Yep.
Which makes no sense. And I don't know how you send a bunch of 22-year-old guys or 22-year-old guys down to Brazil and expect them to come back and then pass.
Are there any Eagles in Brazil is what I want to know.
I don't know. Yeah, they're going to totally miss the symbolism of the Eagles of America. But how are they going to come back and pass, substance abuse, tests? They're all going to come back. The entire team's going to be suspended for 6 weeks. Because did you guys go to Brazil? Yeah. And then they're all going to be like, I swear to God, I just drank the water,
They all went on an ayahuasca trip like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the Eagles to be pretty much out of the game after going to Brazil. But as far as Frankfurt and Germany and all that, they used to play games in the NFL back in the 90s, NFL Europe. You don't remember that?
Barely. Vaguely.
Trying to make all that work. I don't know where the South Korea thing comes in. I do know that baseball is huge in Japan, but I didn't know that. So it's Major League Baseball is going to be playing in South Korea.
Yep.
Which teams are going?
The Padres, and I can't remember the other team. But that is going to be the official kickoff of the Major League Baseball season.
And it's going to be in South Korea.
In South Korea.
So America's pastime.
America's pastime. Exactly. You beat me to it.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see the angry tears welling up in your eyes.
Abner Doubleday is rolling over in his grave right now.
I've heard of that guy, Abner Doubleday. It's anytime you're making a baseball reference that I get, I know that we have done it.
See? Look at you go.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm going to try to pay attention to baseball this year, not just for the show, but I feel like it's the right thing to do. I feel like I'm not doing enough paying attention to sport in my summertime.
Well, it is America's pastime. You should watch it.
Well, I've gotten into it more in recent years. They play over 500 games a year, and I'm one of these guys where it's like I feel like if I'm not paying attention to every game, I'm totally checked out. So I'll miss an entire series. The Indians will have played we played five games against the Yankees last week. I was busy last week. I didn't see a single game. I don't know any of the box scores. I feel like I'm a fraud. I'm a phony.
I haven't asked you because you want me to pick an XFL team.
Yeah.
And I don't have any close to me.
Oh, yeah. But we'll get you set up.
Super close. Do you have any type of baseball team around you? I'm trying to think.
Where I live?
I live out in a vast stretch of
emptiness. So everyone around me in terms of baseball fans, they're all Minnesota Twins fans.
Okay, yeah. That's right. You're closer to Minnesota. Okay. I didn't want to give up your Unabomber location, so...
I'm in a missile silo in Montana. We don't have any professional baseball teams in Montana. I'm just outside of Missoula, Montana.
Well, it's only 162 games a year. It's not 500.
That feels more manageable compared to my bullshit.
Very much more manageable.
Made up number, but still 162 is a lot. That's the thing about football. That's why I like football better, is because even though they're constantly expanding the schedule, every game really matters a lot. The playoffs start in January, but really the playoffs are starting in December, and
yeah,
the Cowboys pretty much had a terrible season because they lost against the Cardinals in week 3 or 4, and that one loss threw them out of contention for winning the division. If only we had known that losing the division would have been a way to get through the playoffs without playing the Packers, I would have told them to throw that last game against Washington, but you never know. You never know how badly you're going to be humiliated and how deeply your dreams will be frustrated and how much everything that you've vested yourself in as a human being emotionally will just be flushed down the toilet right in front of you like a bad turd. You never know.
Well, I think you better start embracing that for the beginning of this coming season.
Honestly, Jerry's like, well, we're all in. And I'm like, when? When are we all in? We never do anything in free agency. You may have seen that meme where it just shows an empty field and, you know, breaking news, Dallas signs nobody. And it's just like, I saw that meme and I'm like, fuck, this meme's from last year. We never do anything in free agency. You know why that is? Everybody hates the Cowboys. I don't know why. I'm very surprised to learn this. I learned that from Boston Joe. Because I felt like at least 50% or more of America was behind America's team, but I'm not surprised at all in a country that would throw Trump overboard and elect a guy like Biden, a daughter showering with president like Biden. I'm not surprised that nobody's supporting the Dallas Cowboys. Like, look at this country. Look at everything that's wrong.
Boston Joe, right? He definitely
made that. Hold on. I'm on a thing here. Look at everything that's wrong. Right? We got a president who showers with his daughter. He can't fucking talk about anything without sounding like an app. Like, he makes George W. Bush seem like an excellent speaker. He makes him seem eloquent. He's an absolute buffoon. You know, the world's crumbling to war all around us. We got drag queens, you know, reading library books, and they're going out and they're touching our children at Granite City when I'm just trying to eat a goddamn hamburger. Look at everything that's
playing women's sports.
I'm landing it. This is the landing. Look at everything that's wrong in our country. It, you know, a person with a conscience doesn't feel good about the things that are going on here. You look at the flag and you're like, well, I can't get behind this government. And then you wonder, can I get behind this culture? Can I get behind these people? Because I look at everyone around me and I'm an alien among them. Like, that no one here shares my values, a belief in God, a belief in the greatness of our country, a belief that we're inherently good, that we're the good guys. You know, can we stand behind that when we've got all this moral decay and all this going on? And then copy and paste, like, everybody hates the Cowboys. So everybody that hates the Cowboys, like, you realize you're part of the problem? It's like, to me, you're exactly the same as a bunch of, like, you know, little kid touchers. Like, you don't realize that you're, like, inherently morally wrong to hate the Cowboys, and you won't get your shit figured out. That the most of the country's fucked up.
Is that a technical term? Little kid touchers.
Whatever. Well, I mean, there's certain words on YouTube that you can't use it without being automatically demonetized.
No, that's perfect.
So I figured the words little and the word kid and the kid toucher, you know, like, those
it's
are
all
not
separated.
As long as you're separating it, I'm fooling the algorithm. But for all the people out there who hate the Cowboys, like, I just invite you to look around you at the utter decay of greatness around you. You know, this was once a country that went to the moon. This was once a country where Roger Staubach was winning Super Bowls. And you cannot objectively, through a lens of moral clarity, look at this country now and say that we're better now than we were back then when the Cowboys were winning all the time. And I think there's a serious correlation between the two. And you want to know why the Cowboys are suffering? It's because this country sucks. It's because we're a morally bankrupt country with no destiny and no purpose and no future other than our own immediate self-gratification. Anyway, back to Jerry Jones. Everybody hates the guy. Nobody wants to do any deals with him. He did the Herschel Walker deal back in the 90s that set them up for a whole dynasty. Basically, just that one deal, like letting go of Herschel Walker, who eventually came back to the Cowboys, got them the dream team or whatever. And everyone hates dealing with Jerry Jones, and he doesn't realize that everyone thinks he's a dick. And he won't do any free agency deals. He never makes a big splash in free agency. People are like sending me like messages, memes, like, do you realize like the Cowboys, like you just intimated, have nothing to look forward to this year? I'm like, well, that's not our strategy. Our strategy is always to go like 2-4, you know, and now it's mid-October, and we clearly, you know, have a huge problem at the skills position, right? So now we'll, like, you know, mortgage a whole bunch of draft capital, go out and get a guy like Amari Cooper, who's like a leading receiver in the NFL now, that we, you know, is still, even though he has left the Dallas Cowboys. So we will mortgage a huge amount of draft capital, and then we'll have a good player for like two seasons, and then we'll just be in the same situation all over again. And, you know, so where are we now? Okay, so, like, you know, we have no running back. We have Rico Dowdle. We signed that. The thing that this just made me insane, and the first little memes that come out on Instagram saying, oh yeah, we've signed this player, you know, be happy, Dallas Cowboys fans, is like Jake McQuaid or whatever his name was, or I don't even remember the name of the long snapper. And I normally like the long snapper. One of my favorite players was the long snapper, LP LaDucier. And but it's just like, well, great job nailing down a long snapper, because we automatically have to have one. And although it's like one of the most it's one of the most perfect positions, whatever. I mean, like, that's great. You signed probably a $1 million contract to keep this guy here. The long snappers typically don't get paid a whole lot of, above minimum. I could be wrong on that. And then it's like, well, you know, we got Jordan Lewis, you know, nailed down. I'm like, oh, isn't he like our third corner? Like, you know, like, what about Stephon Gilmore? Is he coming back? What about Trevon Diggs? Like, is he healing? Can someone tell me that he's healing? I would like to know that he's healed. What about Daron Bland? Like, what's the deal with his? Is he still on a rookie contract? Like, you know, so, and then all of a sudden Tyron Smith is going to the Jets. And Tyron Smith is, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy, but like, he looks like a superhero. He looks like somebody drew him. He's amazingly huge. And whenever he's out, Dak is getting sacked from the blind side. He's a critically important player. He's gone. Ezekiel Elliott gone. Tony Pollard gone. Michael Gallup gone. You know, and it's just
your whole world is crashing around.
Well, this is just how it is in free agency every year, right? Like, players come and go, and it's part of the reason why I think the NFL, once free agency was invented, it's part of the reason, it's something that I think seriously ruined the NFL. I don't know if you can remember back before free agency, but when a player got drafted, he was just a part of that team forever, until, unless somebody traded him or whatever. But it's like Bob Lilly was like, he was a Dallas Cowboy for life. That's just how it goes. Like, a player was, his identity was one with the team. And then free agency happened, which, you know, is pretty much great if you believe in capitalism and, like, you know, the ability to determine your own future and put yourself out there in the market to see what people will pay for you without having to ask your boss if you could quit. You know, before then, you know, before free agency, it was fairly communistic. The in fact, there's some great old stories in the NFL about you know, how players had to get, you know, get released, that they would have to do all kinds of insane deals and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like the Cowboys' very first quarterback, his name was Eddie LeBaron. You don't know who that is, but he used to play for the Redskins. And he retired with the Redskins, so he's over and done with. Well, the Cowboys are coming in. They're coming in 1960 after the draft, because the NFL has hastily put together a team in Dallas, because the Kansas City Chiefs at this time are in Dallas. And the Kansas City Chiefs are in a different league. They're actually in the American Football League. So it's this whole other league that's competing with the NFL. They've got eight teams. They're, you know, the Oilers, the New York Titans, which would become the Jets, all these other teams. They all of a sudden exist. And so there's a team in Dallas. The NFL already had a team in Dallas in 1953 that didn't last. So all of a sudden they're like, well, let's put a team in Dallas. And it is, well, we missed the draft. The draft's over. How are you going to just establish a team in Dallas? So they came up with this idea, like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to create a supplemental draft where the Cowboys can draft whoever they want, whoever's out there in free agency. And we'll also do a weird draft where the Dallas Cowboys can pick, you know, eight players from any other NFL team that they want. And then those teams can protect a certain number of players.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. America's team, because they got the cherry pick. I get it.
So anyway, the Cowboys were prohibited from picking anyone's starters, if I may continue. And they had a terrible team. So they needed a veteran quarterback. They got Don Meredith. They drafted him from SMU. They actually signed him to play for the Cowboys. They actually signed him. His contract was called a personal services contract. He was hired by the Dallas Cowboys just to be an employee. He wasn't even really hired to be a player.
He was like a janitor.
They're like, this is a personal services contract. Don Meredith works for our team. And we, you know, not as a player, but just as, you know, whatever. But anyway, we needed a veteran quarterback to come in there and have someone who actually could take the first snap. It's Eddie LeBaron. He retired from the Redskins. And so the whole thing with the Cowboys and the Redskins was, is that so back, everything was powered by media as it is today. So back then the NFL was a lot smaller. The team that was the furthest south was the Washington Redskins. So everybody throughout the South, whether you live in Florida, which now is three NFL teams, whether you live in Alabama, which, you know, Roll Tide is their thing, Texas, that whole area all the way up through North Carolina, which had no team, Georgia had no team, every team throughout the South is showing Washington Redskins home games, because Washington Redskins was the South's sole NFL team. The NFL was born in New York. It was born in Ohio. And yeah, they expanded, you know, to the West Coast. The Rams were out there. But it was mostly like a Northeast thing. So the Redskins are the farthest South. Every state throughout Dixie is pretty much the home territory for the Redskins. So they need to set up a team in Dallas to compete with the AFL. So they hurriedly put together a team. They're actually called the Texas or the Dallas Rangers for about 5 minutes until it's realized that, like, oh, there's a professional baseball team by the same name. So we can't use that. So they change it to the Cowboys. Like they're literally walking in there. It's the supplemental draft for the Dallas Rangers. And they're like, and he goes, Dallas Cowboys. They just, you know, selected a name at the last second, which turned out to be the best name in all of sports, most recognizable, most important name. And so the guy that George Preston Marshall, the guy that owns the Redskins, really fucking hates us. He doesn't want a team in Texas because now all of a sudden, like, Dallas home games are going to be shown in Texas for sure. And they're going to be competing for markets everywhere between Washington, D.C. and Dallas. Now this whole area is going to be carved up between the Redskins and the Cowboys. Like, who's going where for fandom? Well, that means a loss of money and revenue for George Preston Marshall, who, by the way, was an avowed racist. He didn't let any black players play for his team until the Kennedy administration forced him to integrate because they were playing at a field that was basically federal property and forced them to integrate their team, which is a great story, by the way, if you've never heard of the Express. That's a whole, we won't even go down that rabbit hole. That's a whole story. But anyway, George, at this time, all decisions had to be unanimous amongst all the league owners. And George Preston Marshall was the sole holdout. He's like, I don't want any fucking Dallas Cowboys taking away my money. I don't want them in market. And so what happened is that Clint Murchison, the owner for the Dallas Cowboys at that time, made a deal to secure the rights, the broadcast rights to the song Hail to the Redskins. So this is the fight song that they're playing at every single Redskins game. The Redskins can no longer play their own fight song at their own home games or on TV without writing a check to the Dallas Cowboys. So it's like this fantastic deal. You know, the guy that wrote the song obviously hated George Preston Marshall. He's a very hateable man. He's dead now. But so what happened was that the Cowboys were like, well, we'll give you back the rights to your song, but you got to let us into the league. And they're like, all right, fine. And you got to give us the rights to Eddie LeBaron. They're like, who? And like, the guy that just retired for you. Like, all right, yeah, Eddie LeBaron. Yeah, whatever. You can have the rights to Eddie LeBaron. So the Cowboys began playing in 1960. They only had one game in which they did not lose, a tie against the New York Giants. And that's how the rivalry between the Cowboys and the Redskins began. It's not just a play on the names like Cowboys versus Indians, you know, in the traditional Western sense. They literally were born as a rivalry, like a business rivalry. The Redskins did not want the Cowboys to exist. So anyway, they had to like do this like insane deal of legal maneuvering just to get their first quarterback, Eddie LeBaron. And, you know, that's how it used to be before free agency. Are you dead, Jason?
No, I'm good.
Are you like checking Wikipedia to see if I'm full of shit?
I'm fact checking it.
Oh, it looks like you're sleeping. Or before the show, you said you were going to be looking at pornography. So now I'm worried. So now that we know a little bit about free agency,
yeah, I got and my how it works, off, so we won't be demonetized. So we're good.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that word. Now that we're talking a little bit about free agency and how things used to be back in the good old days, back when America was like a superpower and we had moral superiority over those fucking Russians. Before we were for a deeply degraded and troubled country in which people do not love and support the Dallas Cowboys. Why don't we talk a little bit about free agency and where are they now? It's always interesting to see a player that you solidly identify with a team like Russell Wilson, Seahawks player, won a Super Bowl with them, and then seeing him in orange last year. Very weird. It was weird seeing Aaron Rodgers wearing a different shade of green for about 2 minutes in New York. So it's always fun to see where are they now. So why don't we go ahead and start the show now that we're 19 minutes in. We're going to talk about America's true bloodbath. Where are they now? NFL free agency trackers.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the...
giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
No foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Illegal shift. On the kicking team, that penalty is refused. First down.
Guns up, giddy up, Wolfpack. It's Failure to Stop. Failure to Stop is the number one podcast and platform where you go to be informed and entertained as a first responder. Of course, on Monday, we got the comedy. Everybody loves comedy. It doesn't matter if you're a first responder. You don't have to be like pinning a badge to your chest and running into gunfire to appreciate Monday. Tuesday night's true crime. We tell that with a law enforcement slant. So we just did the story of Cindy James, which is a totally different story if you're a law enforcement officer, because you realize that she was full of shit. She did everything to herself. So that true crime is kind of definitely geared towards law enforcement, or at least people who are not totally stupid about the way law enforcement works. Wednesday, of course, you got all the news that you need so that you don't go insane trying to keep up in the modern world. You know, we can try to inform you without depressing you. Thursday, like we try to do what they do on Wednesday, but just sports-wise. I don't know if you know this, Keith, but like in 2020, like sports and politics became hugely intertwined. I was listening to one of my favorite sports podcasts, and they just kept railing about how Aaron Rodgers was quote unquote lying about getting the vaccine. And I actually had to stop listening because it was so fucking political. And to this day, it's still like this, where people are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is a right wing nut job. And, you know, all this.
Well, you bring in the Travis Kelce with the, you know, the two vaxxer.
Yes.
All that.
So, you know, what's important for this show is that, like, we agree with whatever you think, listener. We're on your side when it comes to first responder stuff. Dangerously right wing. Like I said, I live in a missile silo. That's because I've seceded from the United States. It's not just because I like a vertical lifestyle. Keith, of course, mildly Republican. He does have a weird stance that, like, this kid in Indiana should not be allowed to display the flag on his truck, which I thought was kind of a bad take. And then, of course, on Friday, we get the big case breakdowns for you, which
That just shows me you don't listen.
Hold on. I give your show a like and a watch, but I'm a terrible listener.
Yeah, I was completely on board with that kid being able to fly that flag. Completely. We're trying to get him on the show.
All that matters, though, is that I was watching. Like,
you were there.
For the algorithm. I generated some chats.
Yes, you did.
But Keith is dangerously far right wing. Like, you know, whatever you think about Republicans, whatever you think about them being racist or xenophobic or just whatever you can imagine, that's Keith. So just to sum him up, he's a liberal's worst nightmare, even though all their nightmares are like phony baloney bullshit and shouldn't even be happening. That's Keith. Keith, first of all, just to start the show, now that we're finally starting, how are you, old man? You know, you're 44, so it's like nothing's great, but, you know, as far as within the context of as good as you can be, how are you?
I'd say I'm running on 80% right now. I'm good.
You're running on 80% fuel or 80% fumes, or like you just have 80% gas in your tank, or what is it?
I got 80% gas in the tank. We had a huge, huge last week gearing up for our partner, Rob, from the One More and I'm Out of Here podcast. One of the three hosts who's been down and out, we've talked about, had a big fundraiser for him on this past Saturday. Was absolutely phenomenal. Raising money for, you know, his wife and kids. You know, he's still laid up in the hospital, still trying to figure some things out, but huge turnout from our community, our local community. And then also want to throw a shout out to, you know, the Failure to Stop people that had Venmo'd Aaron, his wife, some support, you know, here and there, you know, whatever you guys could afford, which was awesome. She very appreciative. I actually had a conversation with her on Monday and she was like, I don't know where some of this stuff came from. We were looking through it and I'm like, I know that one. I know that one. I know that one. And they were Failure to Stop people. So from his family and from One More and I'm Out of Here, I want to say thanks to everybody that donated. Still got a long road ahead, but, you know, that definitely lightens the load a little bit. But, yeah, dude, I was exhausted. I mean, leading up to, the 2 weeks prior to this past Saturday and then going through Saturday, went out for a couple beers on St. Patrick's Day, but didn't celebrate the way I normally do. Because I was absolutely done. So
how do you normally celebrate?
Usually an all there on a bus by like 8 a.m. Get back around 8 or 9 p.m. Bar hop.
Yeah, but that's just you on a regular Saturday, isn't it?
Well, it depends. I mean, this year was on a Sunday, so it kind of threw it off anyway. But I needed my bed. I wished I'd have worn my Apple Watch to see how many steps I had Saturday. Because the son of a bitch might have broke. I mean, that's the way it felt anyway.
I don't care about St. Patrick's Day at all. I don't need an excuse to drink. If I want to drink, I will drink. I'm not, I am like, I think there's parts of me that are Irish, but I just don't give a fuck about, as far as all legitimate holidays, I don't give a fuck about that. And it's like, nobody who claims to care about it really does either. Cause it's like, are you telling me that you care about that St. Patrick was martyred for the Catholic faith? Cause I don't think that you do care. I mean, I
just want an excuse.
And this is risky, but I do know a bunch of Catholics and they do drink a whole lot. And so like, maybe drinking is part of what it means to be a Catholic. I don't know. I'm not Catholic. I'm a Protestant. So sorry guys, but I'm like, during the Great Schism, I went the other way. Sorry. we're the only sports show on earth, by the way, to mention the Great Schism. And Keith, don't, it's okay if you, if I'm way off base, it's all right. So moving on. I don't care about St. Patrick's Day at all. Cause it's like the color green. And, you know, kiss me, I'm Irish, or pinching people or whatever. I've never fucking understood it. And I think it's in terms of all holidays, it's the one I care about the least. Like even Valentine's Day, like there's some obligation there to be romantic to your SO if you have one, or romantic to yourself, you know, if you're alone in life. But it's something. I think it's more legitimate. I think even the commercialism around St. Valentine's Day makes it more viable. St. Patrick's Day is just, it's like Cinco de Mayo. It's like a drinking holiday, I guess. And Cinco de Mayo, like, at least matters more in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially all it is. It's an excuse to just be idiotic, drink all day until you feel like shit.
Do you celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
I will go out and I will have a margarita, which I typically don't drink. I'll have
So you drink to the independence of Mexico from Spain. You drink that Mexico won the Battle of Puebla and it gained their independence from Spain. Never mind that we subsequently went to war with Mexico and that we had all kinds of, we went to war with them. We basically picked that fight so that we could, you know, get various territories in the Southwest. And Texas, of course, went to war against Mexico because they wanted to keep their slaves. Mexico outlawed slavery, so Texas seceded from Mexico.
Well, anyway, anybody that watches on the YouTubes,
this is the worst sports show ever,
or listens, knows that you're way more intelligent than I am. I just support the local establishments that are serving good margaritas.
All right, you have made me look like an absolute asshole. I am not here to show you up. I just want to know if you actually support Mexico. And other one? Mardi Gras. Like that's another like big drinking holiday, but that's also like part of Catholicism, right? Like it's Fat Thursday. Like it's right before Lent, so everybody like wants to get it out of their system, all their sins, so that they can officially give up something for Lent. Like even that holiday like has its roots in Catholicism, but like it's completely lost. So it's like, Jason, when I celebrate Halloween, it literally is about like honoring the martyred saints of the faith. Like it's All Hallowed Eve. I care very much. You know, I tell people at church, have a blessed Halloween. I get the most bizarre looks from them. When I told him to have a blessed Halloween, I'm like, well, Halloween's a Christian holiday, so you should be celebrating Halloween. As a Christian, you should be celebrating it. It doesn't mean that you have to dress up like a vampire and go beg for Twizzlers. You know, that's like saying it to celebrate Mardi Gras, you have to like be topless and have beads on. You don't have to do that. But
no, I sit at the end of the driveway and give beers to the adult.
I give cigarettes to children, and I've learned that it's not illegal if you leave them in a bowl for the children to take away. I literally we have been through the whole thing on that. It was not easy to. Well, I was handing them out, and then you know the parents got in trouble. Now, when the kids go home with a pack of Marlboros, I'd be like, "Your kid, get off my porch! You're lucky I don't charge them with theft or whatever." And then it kind of puts them on their heels. And anyway, it's just the best way to celebrate the martyred saints for Christ. Anyway.
Nailed that. You killed it.
I didn't do anything for St. Patrick's. Sorry, I just had to go to the bathroom. I didn't do anything for St. Patrick's. I don't know. My router just resets sometimes. Thanks, folks, for dealing with that.
Yeah, you completely vapor locked, and I'm looking around.
Going, I did. How did I at least freeze in a fun way? Was I at least like...
You were like... So I don't know exactly. I was like, let me check. Yeah. Nope.
There's nothing you can do. I don't know why it does that sometimes. I think my router just hates me. So I didn't do anything for St. Patrick's Day. It was on a Saturday, or it was on a Sunday. Everybody was going out on Saturday. I just, I'm 40, Jason. You said at a certain point, you got to look at your life and you got to realize I'm too old for this going out and carousing shit. And, you know, I'm definitely too old at age 40. So I think you need to like seriously like, look in the mirror and fucking reckon with yourself at age 44. Like, why are you behaving like a 24-year-old?
Which I didn't.
This is now an intervention.
I did it Saturday for Rob's fundraiser. I was like, you know,
I don't care.
That was my St. Patrick's Day.
I feel like I'm big timing morally here or whatever, or like intellectually. So I just look like an absolute asshole today, and I'm sorry for that. Why don't we talk about some of the big NFL free agency moves? Let's the article that you sent me was by position, so we could talk about some of the names that stood out to me. Kirk Cousins, I think this is a sign that the Minnesota Vikings are definitely losers. They let him get away. Say whatever you will about Kirk Cousins, I think he was good for the Vikings. He's probably the best quarterback they've had probably since Fran Tarkenton, to be honest, like statistically at least. Kirk Cousins, a good guy. I wish him all the best. You can kind of tell that he's on the last leg of his NFL journey with the Atlanta Falcons.
Did you watch the Netflix quarterbacks special?
I don't have Netflix anymore. I'm sorry, okay. Man. You should have asked me that off the air, because now I look poor.
No. So I didn't know a whole lot about Kirk Cousins, and he was highlighted with Patrick Mahomes, and I can't remember the other two, but it was interesting to get to see like the behind the scenes. And granted, it's all, you know, if there's cameras in your house, you're going to act a certain way, right? But he just seems like
right now, yes,
he seems like a wholesome guy. Well, yeah, this doesn't count, duh. But he seems like a wholesome guy. Seems like a really nice guy, and he wants to win. He seems competitive, and I was shocked. I mean, I didn't know what the inner workings were with their talks and whether there were any talks with Minnesota and him and whether he wanted to stay, if that's a place where, you know, he wanted to continue to call home. But he ends up signing with Atlanta, and then the Vikings pull Sam Darnold from San Francisco. Yeah, who was back?
I didn't know that's where Sam Darnold was. All I know is that Sam Darnold is another one of those where, like, oh, he still exists. He was starting at some point with it. Was it? No, that was the Jets quarterbacks confused me, because I don't even know who was starting after Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't Mike White. It was some other guy.
He was over in the East Coast, though. Yes, I cannot remember either.
Sorry, I don't remember, guys. I don't remember Sam Darnold. I know that he was with the Jets, and then they had a bit of a controversy, and then Aaron Rodgers basically came and fucked everything up, because all of a sudden he's like, Aaron Rodgers is the captain now. And it didn't matter anyone else's like ambitions or anything that they had worked for, because Aaron Rodgers is there.
And the only reason I bring that is just it was a very weird transition from they don't want to keep Cousins, so they deal Cousins off. He goes to Atlanta, but then they get Darnold in, and Darnold again is, like we said, not super memorable. So it's like, okay. And you have Justin Jefferson, who isn't happy. He wants a star quarterback. And him and Cousins had a good relationship, even though Cousins wasn't a star quarterback. So it's very, very confusing. And you hear all the trade rumors over in the last couple of days of where Jefferson wants to go, because he wants to be with a superstar. There was rumor that he wanted to reconnect with Burrow and Chase, but then the Vikings, before they grabbed Darnold, they said, well, we're not doing anything with him until we get a quarterback. So the drama in free agency, to your point, starting this little segment, is it's fucking nuts.
It is nuts.
Because you have all the personalities, and then, well, I don't want to go here unless so-and-so is here. And to be a GM in the NFL has got to be, at this point in time, just mind-wrenching.
It is. And what has tended to happen in the last few years is that you actually like wind up with like all-star team-up situations. You may remember like when Tom Brady went to the Bucks, all of a sudden everybody wants to play in Tampa Bay. And it was like, well, why the hell do you want to go down there? Like, nobody cared about playing in Tampa Bay a few years ago. This idea that you're going to have Cameron Brate and Mike Evans on your team, like, they've always been great players, you know, but now Tom Brady's there and he's the star power and everyone wanted to team up there.
Well, and the Rams,
before that,
the Rams,
before that, it was the Rams.
Bengals,
it was, God damn it, I was going to say the Rams. Like,
well, that was my Super Bowl appearance. So they bought themselves a Super Bowl. Everybody was on a one-year deal, and then everybody left.
yeah, they mortgaged their futures for that. And then, you know, case in point, they didn't have a bad season, but like now that they've let go of, or that Aaron Donald's retired, it's like, yep. You know, and they're still going with Matt Stafford, which, you know, I don't hate Matt Stafford, but it's like, he's clearly not a long-term solution for the Rams. So what's going to happen to the Rams? But, you know, so we had these super team ups happening, and now it's like, you know, Jalen Ramsey is another one of those where it's like, he'll only play where he wants to play. And he really yeah. kind of forces his talent on general managers. And so what happens is that everybody's kind of locked, right? And then like one piece falls out and then another piece, and then the deluge happens. That's why part of the reason why we didn't address free agency last week is because it's like, well, let's just wait and see how many more players are going to fall around. So Baker Mayfield signed a 3-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good for him. He was playing on like a $5 million deal last year. He got them, you know, he won the division. It was the weakest division, but I think he still played well. So this is kind of a comeback for him.
And that Russell, was kind of expected, I think.
I think so. But I mean, they could have just as easily just said, well, we're going to draft somebody or go another way. I mean, with all these players, you know, out in the wind, you know, Russell Wilson could have wound up at Tampa Bay. Hypothetically, it could have happened.
Right.
Russell Wilson went to the Steelers. Gardner Minshew, who is working on playing for every single fucking team in the NFL, he's going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Minshew Mania.
He's trying to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He is. Now Minshew Mania is now such a specific thing where you literally have to be a family member of Gardner Minshew to maintain Minshew Mania, because he's played for every team. Jacoby Brissett signed with the Patriots. I think that's cool because I don't know if you remember this about Jacoby Brissett, but he was actually the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots during Tom Brady's suspension after Deflategate. It was actually Jacoby Brissett who was going in there and winning games. Reunion for him. I don't know. I don't think he's necessarily going to be the starter out there, just because he wasn't the starter all those years ago, and now we're like 10 years later. Jameis Winston's with the Cleveland Browns. It's nice that the Cleveland Browns got a veteran quarterback. Jameis Winston, famous at one point for throwing as many touchdowns and interceptions in a season. I still like him from the end of last season when they just decided to score another touchdown because they fucking wanted to. That kind of has to make you like Jameis Winston. Tyrod Taylor, he's been floating around all over the place. I know that he played for Giants and Buffalo. He's going to the Jets on a 2-year deal, so he'll be backing up Aaron Rodgers hypothetically in the new year. Sam Darnold, like you said, going to the Vikings. Drew Lock, that guy, I think he was with the Broncos, right? He's going to the Giants. I think he's got probably a decent chance to start there just because the Giants have nothing going for them. That's very mean. Tyler Huntley, he's been a lifetime backup. He's kind of somebody that I don't even know if he can go better than 500 as a backup. Not criticizing the guy. He's a better quarterback than me. I always have to say that because people like just dog on these NFL players. I'm like, well, you go out there and do it. Like, I can't fucking do anything. If I'm out there for even one play, I will be made into a quadriplegic. I will lose the ball. It will be fumbled, and it will be the defense will score 6 points, and I will make Damar Hamlin look like a day in the park. Like, I will literally, just bury me right there. They're like, he's too destroyed to transport from the scene. So I just want to make it clear before I'm out there criticizing NFL players.
We're going biodegradable.
That guy sucks. It's like, dude, they won't even, you know, they wouldn't even give, we don't even need to go into it, but it's like, they wouldn't even print my name on the back of a jersey. They would realize that was a waste. Mason Rudolph, the guy that likes to hit people with helmets, he's down there with Tennessee, which they're in the middle of a kind of a quarterback crisis.
Yeah,
Marcus Mariota didn't work out for them. Ryan Tannehill's kind of aging out, so who knows? Mason Rudolph actually might be starting at some point in Tennessee, depending on how their draft game goes. Josh Johnson re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Good job for him. You want to talk some running backs?
Let's do it.
Barkley went to the Eagles. That makes me mad. At first, I was like, God damn it, I have to play Saquon Barkley twice a year. I'm like, well, I was already doing that. It didn't really matter. But now he's with a slightly better team. But
he signed he signed a big deal, too. Because
three years, $37.75 million for a running back now? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, but I don't think he's worth it. He hasn't done shit. He's been hurt more than he's played.
Okay. Well, he got injured. It wasn't that he was just hurt, like he hurt himself. Like he did get hurt by another human being. I don't know. I think he's still probably tight. He's probably one of the best free market running backs out there. I think the reason why you don't think so is just because he's been playing for the Giants. The Giants don't know how to use players. So I think it's possible he may do well there. We'll see. Josh Jacobs, Green Bay Packers. Derrick Henry went to the Baltimore Ravens. Did you see Derrick Henry's quote?
No, I didn't, but that pisses me off.
He said, before the Baltimore Ravens signed me to a 2-year deal worth $60 million, the Dallas Cowboys didn't even call me. Dallas, are you fucking aware that you do not have a starting running back? You have, right now you have Rico Dowdle, who was like your RB2 the entire past season, which this is nothing against Rico Dowdle, like whatever. And you got like that tiny guy, whatever his name is, Vaughn or whatever. You don't have a running back, and Derrick Henry is as good a choice in free agency as to get as anybody. Here's the problem with Dallas and free agency as I see it, and I could be wrong because I'm not a numbers guy, but it's like for them to create cap space to sign a big free agent to go get somebody huge, they literally have to give an extension to Dak Prescott. They literally have to tell Dak, hey, you could be here for 4 more years and we'll restructure your contract so we're not paying you so much this year so that we have money to pay other players. And I think the feeling is in the front office, and this is actually something I have to support, but it's just like, do you want to give Dak Prescott an extension, or do you want to be able to get through this last year and be able to say, like, we can move past Dak Prescott and possibly, you know, destroy the franchise in new and interesting ways? You know, it's all up to whether or not you want to keep Dak Prescott. And I think by not granting him that extension, you can't go get these big free agencies. You can't necessarily go after a guy like Derrick Henry without getting into a bidding war. But I think this is a sign by them not going for big free agent moves that they don't necessarily want to extend Dak Prescott. That's my take. Tony Pollard, I love the guy. He's really not an all every down running back, but he went to Tennessee. So good luck to Tony Pollard. Thank you for everything you did for the Dallas Cowboys.
I literally
cried when he got injured during the playoffs 2 years ago. Yes.
Let me get your opinion on Derrick Henry, though. He signed 2 years, $16 million. Mm-hmm. You think he's got two good years?
I don't know. I doubt it. You know, he'll probably play for 1 year, and then they'll probably restructure his contract after that.
The reason I ask is because the Bengals traded Joe Mixon, our number one running back, which this past year did much better than he did the year before. But they had already restructured his contract. So there was talks that they were trying to work something with Derrick Henry. I would have loved to have had Derrick Henry for 2 years for us to kind of get, because we have the same thing. Our backfield is not super great right now, mm-hmm. the way it sits on paper. So now we have to face Derrick Henry.
On paper, literally Jerry Jones is going to be handed the ball.
Well, he looks like I can't remember the character from Lord of the Rings.
He looks like Senator Palpatine, if anybody. He doesn't look that bad. He doesn't look.
Oh, yeah, he does. The last picture I saw, oh, it's not good, bud.
Well, he's very old. You know,
he is. He's like 180. I think he's Yoda's uncle.
He's going to look better after they download his brain into an indestructible Android body. Anyway, so Austin Eckler has moved over to the Washington Redskins. He's going to make that team more dangerous.
Yeah.
Who else running backs? I don't know. Deonta Foreman, he's out there in the wind.
We grabbed Zach Moss. The Bengals did 2 years, $8 million. So that's supposed to take over for Mixon. I'm not upset with it. I'd rather have Henry, but we'll see how that goes. Let's see.
Wide receivers. Michael Pittman staying with the Colts. Mike Evans staying with the Bucks. I bet he's going to retire there. That's good. Calvin Ridley staying with the Titans. So whoever they get for a quarterback, that's going to be good for him. Odell Beckham Jr. is out there in the wind. He could go somewhere, right?
They were just talking to I just saw it. I can't remember who. Keep going.
Yeah. Noah Brown re-signed with the Houston Texans. Noah Brown was someone that actually used to play tight end for the Cowboys. He was okay. I don't think he was ever like a first string player, but we've had a couple players now. Him and Dalton Schultz have gone over to the Texans, and they're talking about how the culture over there is so different. They say everything there is about football. It's not about, you know, the pageantry and the showmanship. I'm like, I get that. You know, the Cowboys constantly have people coming through on tours, and it's Schultz said it was like, you know, when you're in the gym, it's like a zoo, because, like, you know, a tour group will go by and watch you doing your sets or whatever. And, you know, who likes that? And it's like, of course, it's about football with the Texans, because first of all, the franchise is only 22 years old. They've never fucking done anything. They need to be focusing on football. They're not inherently great like the Dallas Cowboys. So I kind of understand that. But I also feel like Dallas maybe needs to start adopting that attitude. Like, I get that, like, they're their premier team in sports, whether people want to accept that or not. It's basically true. At least if you don't want to accept the Cowboys because you hate them, you have to deal with the fact that they are, like, monetarily like the biggest sports franchise. But I think it would be great if they would stop treating it like it's entertainment and start treating it like it's football. Jerry Jones will never have that mentality, obviously. So if they wanted to get more of an underdog mentality in Dallas, I would be okay with that. Marquise Valdes-Scantling, he got cut by the Chiefs. He's out there in the wind somewhere. Could be signed by somebody. Who else we got? Chase Claypool. He's out there ready to ruin any team that will sign him. I think he'll probably get signed. We'll see. Tight end Dalton Schultz, as I mentioned, is still back with the Texans. Hunter Henry's re-signed with the Patriots. That's good for them. No other big tight end news, I don't think.
I was trying to look, because, and it's all rumor mill right now, but on who Beckham Jr. was going to go with, but I couldn't come up with anything substantial.
Would you like to see him come to the Bengals?
No, I do not.
Okay,
because that is that, you just that is a that is a cancer in the locker room that we've gone through enough.
No, he has that reputation as cancer ever since that time that he punched the kicking net, and the kicking net punched him back. You know, he's had that that reputation. But don't you think that he can grow up and he can realize he's not God's gift to football anymore, and maybe settle down and just kind of keep his head down and just take some snaps and run his routes and have it not be a big deal? Don't you think players eventually mature or become irrelevant enough that they realize that they should just like be grateful for what they have? Because Deion Sanders did that by the time Deion was playing for the Ravens, and same with Dez Bryant. By the time both those guys were playing for the Ravens, like, they both kind of just calmed down and wanted to play, right?
Well, I mean, you would hope that's the case, but it's not always. And with him, I even heard, you know, he had a decent year with the Ravens, but you heard rumblings, you know, different articles I read that he was a pain in the ass in the locker room. And our wide receiving core is going through enough right now. Me personally, as a Bengals fan, I don't need him. I'll take my chances without him.
Our center, Tyler Biadasz, also went to the Washington Redskins. So, like, we've had a couple players go over to Washington. And we had Dan Quinn, our defensive coordinator. He's the head coach of Washington now. So, seeing Tyler Biadasz also going over to Washington, I feel like I'm looking around. I'm, like, the only one left around here. Like, where the hell did everybody else go? It started to get a little bit concerning where I'm at. What about – is there any big free agency moves specific to the Bengals? Is there anyone there that –
So we just signed was it Trent Brown from played for the Patriots, played for the Raiders, huge offensive lineman, because we lost Jonah Williams, who was a right tackle. We just picked him up, Brown up. He's like 6'7" or 6'8", 380 pounds, Super Bowl champion. He blocked for Brady. Granted, that was the past. I'm excited about it. We'll see. I mean, I was excited about a couple other offensive line pickups that we made, you know, in years past, and it didn't pan out. But this one I think will be good, because him and Ted Karras used to be teammates in New England. And there was a statement that was made that when he came in for his talk, you know, with the Bengals, you know, pretty much a signing. But when he came in, he went in touring the facility. Karras was in the hot tub getting ready to go work out. And he was like, if I see a former teammate here this early in, you know, before the season starts, I know it's worth it. And this is where I probably need to be. So he's already got, you know, some continuity. So it could be huge. And I mean, we need that for Joe Burrow, because we don't need him getting hurt again. So,
yeah,
that's a big one.
Dallas also lost Neville Gallimore. He went to the Dolphins. Jonathan Hankins, had some big plays this past year. He's also a free agent. Jadeveon Clowney, he was kind of a big deal. He's a free agent still. Calais Campbell, still a free agent. That's kind of surprising. He figured that he would have been picked up by now. Who else? Bud Dupree's out there. You should pick up Bud Dupree, baby. Didn't he used to play for the Bengals at some point? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
We did have a Dupree, but I don't think it was him.
It was a different guy. Okay. Well, he's out there for anyone that wants him. Shaquille Leonard, also a free agent.
Did he ever
play a single game for the Cowboys? Because I remember picking him up from the Colts and thinking, thank God, Shaq Leonard's here. And then nothing fucking happened. I think I got bamboozled. I don't think I ever saw Shaq Leonard play a single down for the Cowboys.
Bamboozled.
Well, what happened with that? I just forgot until now. I forgot. I remember we needed help at linebacker because Leighton Vander Esch got injured. He's since retired, which is a shame.
Well, can I
now say again?
I want to go back up to the quarterbacks real quick.
Can I finish my thoughts on linebacker?
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to now. No, Stephen Gilmore, ahead. Cornerback, free agent.
Here we go. Here comes Whiny John.
Now I want to do safeties. Micah Hyde. He's a free agent.
That's shocking, actually.
Jaron Curse, also a free agent. You know, he was playing for our team. Jordan Poyer signed with the Dolphins. Boy, that's got to kill Buffalo Bills fans. That's going to be driving nuts. I also want to say Fletcher Cox retiring is something that makes me feel great. I have always hated that guy. Die Eagles, die. That's it for me. If you want to say whatever you want to say about quarterbacks now, just go ahead. I just wanted to go through it methodically.
No, okay. All right. I get it. You're very organized.
I'll freeze now so that you can talk about whatever you want.
No, don't freeze. No, so you got Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. They deal off Kenny Pickett to go to the Eagles to be the backup behind Hurts. And then the Steelers also pick up Justin Fields. Your thoughts?
Is the Fields thing final?
I believe it is.
All right, I have to check.
I believe. Hold on. I believe.
Hold on.
But there's, I mean, everything was pointing to that. But to me, that didn't make sense. So that's why I wanted.
It says Bears trade quarterback Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. What the fuck's going on?
Right. This is why I wanted to go back to quarterbacks. I mean,
well, we should have addressed that right from go. Because what the hell? What the hell are they doing? Why are they taking Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
And then
what the hell does that mean? Does that mean that like at least on paper, like they have like one of like they have the most potential possibly with Justin Fields and they have the most experience with Russell Wilson? Like,
well, if you look at it, I mean, and I don't know the parameters of the Fields trade, but they got Wilson for a year and they're only paying $1.2 million, right? So Denver's paying the rest of that. So now at this point, because Pickett left, because Tomlin said Wilson's getting the nod. He's going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably so, kind of understandably so. He's tenured. Let him get the first reps and see what happens. But Pickett's like, well, you know what? If I'm going to be a backup here, I might as well go be a backup behind Jalen Hurts. But then you pick up Fields. So my only thought is if they've only got Wilson for a year, they won't mess with him next year. Fields is young.
Yeah.
You adapt him in. I don't want Fields in my division. I don't.
Too bad.
I liked him in the NFC. I liked him in Chicago. You just keep him.
I don't think he mattered much in the NFC North. I don't think anyone really cared he was there. I mean, they did have that one great game against the Packers to kick off the season.
He didn't play great, but he didn't have a good offensive line.
Well, he also played for Chicago. It's just like saying, like, what are the New York Giants doing? Like, is Saquon Barkley any good? So you can't tell because he plays for the Giants. It's the same thing with Chicago. Is such and such a player good? We can't tell because they play for that team. It's the same thing with the Browns. Like, you have great players and, like, you know, they have this allegedly great defense, but it's like no one will recognize them because they play for the Browns. That's just how it is. Like, sometimes a team's identity can completely obliterate a player from really getting acknowledged by anybody but like the deep talent scouts. And I think Saquon Barkley has always been a good running back. I just think his career has been wasted, which, you know, that's what he gets for signing with the Giants to begin with. Garoppolo's going to the Rams, so I guess that's their long-term solution for the Rams, by the way.
Right. Well, I know we both got messages from Lumber Chef regarding, you know, a couple weeks ago regarding Chicago and Fields. And he was saying that should draft Williams and have – you get the number one draft pick. You have Fields another tool, you know, that's learning behind him. He sent it to you. He sent it to me. I'll forward it to you.
Messages from you, Lumber Chef. Sorry.
It was on Instagram, I believe. But, because we went through, like, all right, so do you take a number one – draft quarterback, rookie, has no idea what the NFL is, and he was saying yes. He's a Chicago fan. Keep Fields, don't, because we were talking about dealing Fields off. So, well, obviously Chicago dealt Fields off, so I don't know what the hell is going to happen in Chicago, and I don't think...
Well, they're going to try to draft that guy, Caleb Williams or whatever. I mean, that's right. Their solution to everything. Oh, we'll just draft well. Never mind that, like, but your solution to that before was to draft well, and you took Mitch Trubisky, so...
Well, and they drafted well. They got Justin Fields, who's a good quarterback, but he didn't have a line.
Okay, good point. Do you think they took Mitch Trubisky because it's like the most Chicago sounding name on earth?
Shut up, you stupid douchebag!
It's Mitch Trubisky.
Saturday Night Live skit, the Bears.
Yeah, he seems like somebody who was like bound for that. Like,
how many sausages did you have? Baker's dozen.
Yeah, I miss those sketches.
So do I.
Did you see there was an episode of Peyton's Places, which is a Peyton Manning show, but he went to Soldier Field and he was there with George Went, and they were talking about the history of Chicago, and they were talking about the Fog Bowl, and George Went was in his SNL,
the whole garb.
Chicago Bears fan. He goes, yeah, I sat here for the Fog game. Couldn't see it behind this column. The seat's been owned by my family, you know, since the 30s.
He
goes, well, what did you think of the Fog game? Too foggy. <You know? laughs>
Those were some of the greatest skits ever.
They were. And if you are a football fan, and if you're a fan of football history, as I am, and if you ever want to be able to upstage Keith on a podcast with Keith, first of all, I'm sure Keith is looking for a new partner after today, but watch Peyton's Place. It's a great place to learn some history. I was really hoping they did a whole ritual on breaking the Detroit Lions curse of Bobby Lane this year, where they lit
that show.
They literally like did a whole like thing to exorcise the ghost out of Ford Field. And I thought, my God, if they actually go to the Super Bowl, like Peyton Manning has spiritual powers, you know, Well, I mean, they did better this year than, you know, they had a playoff win. I mean, it was something went right.
Yeah.
Anything else to bring us up to date in NFL free agency so that when football starts in like 6 months, it feels like emotionally, like when we finally see those players running out on the field in their bizarre bonkers new jerseys, or when we go to the pro shop this summer and we see these weird names and weird colors all mismatched. Anything else we need to cover so people don't get vertigo and fall over and die when they see that shit?
No, I mean, I'm sure we'll hit a little bit next week because it's still going to continue. Just the changes, but
I think all the major players are out of the way. I mean, there's only a few big free agents that are still out there that haven't gone anywhere, but even like Odell Beckham Jr., like I would say he's probably one of the biggest free agents, but people really don't care about him anymore. He's kind of past his prime, right?
He's kind of irrelevant. He's irrelevant. Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be any big free agency moves in the next week. So I think we're safe to end the show.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. You know, who knows? Maybe the show will be canceled. Maybe you and I will just both be free agents next week. It's always possible. once Eric finds out I was talking about the great schism in the Roman Catholic Church, like he might decide like this isn't a good sports show. Sorry, Eric. I don't know. Like I get off on little tangents. And sometimes my camera freezes. I don't know. What we should do before we end the show?
What?
Ad reads.
Look at us. See, we're on the same page.
We're on the same page, just, you know, 58 minutes too late. Folks, this show was brought to you by Ghostbed. We hope you went to Ghostbed at some point during the show and used the offer code Wolfpack, where you saved 40% or whatever you found on that website. You're now getting sleep so good it's scary. Our thanks to Ghostbed for supporting Failure to Stop and supporting Illegal Shift as the number one podcast where first responders go to learn about the great schism in the Roman Catholic Church. With 0% down, 0% financing, even if you have the credibility of Odell Beckham Jr., you can go in there and you can get a ghost bed. We appreciate them supporting first responders and veterans and podcast listeners like you. As I said, as a listener of Failure to Stop, you can go ahead and use offer code Wolfpack to save 40%. They're the only mattress company that makes mattresses right here in the good old USA. 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 We need to like workshop that, man. We're on like week, 25 and we're doing a terrible job here.
I know.
Anyway, go over to Ghostbed. We appreciate them as always. Thank you, Ghostbed. Also, Factor Meals. Guys, you eat every day. Idiots, why aren't you eating at home? Why are you going out to eat? Have you been outside? Have you seen grocery prices? They're insane. That's going to help you want to just stay at home, save some money, plan out your meals, Be a smart person. Factor meals will be brought to your house, reverse trick or treat style. You have over 300 options on the website. You decide how many are brought to your house every week, reverse trick or treat style. It's the gift to yourself of the future, from the wise you of now to when you are hungry. When you're hungry and you have that Factor meal to eat, you're just going to be so thankful that you listen to John and that you listen to your own self and went over there to Factor Meals to get that. Use the promo code WOLFPACK50. You're going to save 50% off to start. It's a great way to do it. I know that Megan Brosman, a fan of the show, who never watches this particular iteration of Failure to Stop, feeds herself with Factor Meals. She says they're a lifesaver. In fact, Megan is still alive as proof that Factor Meals is indeed a lifesaver. Our thanks to Factor Meals. Remember to use that offer code WOLFPACK50. That reminds them to vest in Failure to Stop and to keep me and Jason paid and talking to you here about the history of the Catholic Church and which holidays are bullshit or not, and also why the Redskins hate the Cowboys. That's right. Factor Meals makes that continue to happen to you. Also, the Wellness Company. Jason, we've talked about the Wellness Company before. With the Wellness Company, you can own your wellness. You can own your freedom. You can own your health with the Wellness Company. Get well and stay well with solutions that are designed by top doctors. They offer natural supplements, you know, like melatonin to help you sleep, stuff for your immune system, daily essentials for your mind, your energy, your digestion, and your metabolism. If you're like Jason and your diet is 98% alcohol and like the rest is just pretzels, you might need to eat some vitamins at some point. You could go over to Wellness Company and get some vitamins. They also have prescription meds. If you're someone like Jason, you might also need prescription medicine. I won't say why, but you could also stock up for the next emergency. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Jason is a very, very chaste man. Very, very, very good. He makes good decisions. Medical kits, first aid kits, contagion kits. You can get a membership over there. Free yourself from Big Pharma at the Wellness Company. Use the code WOLFPACK, get 10% off. We appreciate the Wellness Company for coming on board. They see everything that's going on over here and they say, I want in. That makes them a special company. Speaking of special, just to round it off, I did promise at County Com I would read ads for them. Be ready for everything. Go over there to County Com. They have everything you need to prepare, to explore, and to survive. Go to their online store, countycom.com. They have everything for your everyday carry. Powerful flashlights, utility knives, multi-tools, camping tools, radios, watches, compasses, fire starter kits, pouches, capsules, wallets, whatever you need when you're roughing it, when you're camping, you just don't want to die in your daily life. You get the stuff that you need at County Com. You could trust them. They've been in business almost as long as I've been alive. They offer fast returns and exchanges. You can get free domestic shipping on an order as big as $125. They got cool deals over there, a great rewards program. Go to countycom.com. That's countycomm.com. Follow them on Instagram. Check them out. Got awesome products and deals there. Be the cool guy. Be the prepared guy. Save everyone's life. Be that guy with County Com. Jason, before we go, just any cool fires, any cool stories from the front line? Tell us what it's like. Tell us what it's like being a lieutenant out there on the thin red line.
We have actually been fairly boring. So that's a good thing.
Will you please make up some shit so that this is an interesting show? It doesn't have to be true. Nothing I say is true, for example.
18-story building. There are 7 floors burning. No.
People screaming. It's my birthday. Please save me, fireman.
A bunch of paramedic calls, chest pains for 3 days at 3 a.m. and you're calling now. That's typically the way it goes.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Sunday nights. I don't know how it is for you, but on Sunday nights, people always call in like, I don't feel so good. I'm like, oh, my God, when did this start? Thursday. For fuck's sakes, dude. Where I'm at, it's all volunteers. It's like, let me just wake up all the volunteers to go handle your deal. Or Jason, as a paramedic, do you have to deal with this a lot? You have to go over to someone's house because they're not feeling good because they're doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking pisses you off. You did all that training to help good people, and then you just find out that people are just like, you know, they're making, you know, meth or drugs with chemicals under their kitchen sink, and now they don't feel so good. Now they need a whambulance for their drug problems.
We pretty much know most of them, so it's like, all right, so what changed? What's different? Did you get it from somebody else? Yeah. Okay, well, there's your problem. I'm not a police detective, but that's a clue. There's your problem. How about we stop doing that, period?
Yeah. I don't know. Just makes me mad. Anyway, we appreciate
job security. Job security, John.
We appreciate you as a first responder for going to the thing so that when they call, that they'll stop calling because you're there. As a dispatcher, I appreciate you, dude, for doing that. For saving their lives, even though they add nothing to society, even though they were a huge sponge, and someday, you know, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent here. Folks, tomorrow, Eric's got a huge, big case breakdown. It's so big, I'm not even allowed to tell you what it is. It's tomorrow morning. It's at 11 a.m. Eastern. Eric's going to break down a huge case for you. Definitely worth watching. We appreciate you watching Illegal Shift. We know it's probably the most bizarre and unapproachable podcast on this entire network, because what the fuck are we talking about? We're here to entertain you. We're here to help you get through the times when there's not much sports going on. Talk about sports, but whatever. We broke down Ray Lewis last week. If you haven't heard that episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Folks, you know what to do about a podcast. Hit like, hit subscribe, leave a like there, leave a comment below. Follow us on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review. Send money to Jason's GoFundMe. Check him out on One More and I'm Out of Here on his podcast channel. He's still doing stuff. He's still in his basement. He invites Dan over. It's not weird. It's a great show. Watch One More and I'm Out of Here. We support him over there. It sincerely is a good show, Jason. Thank you as always. I know that this was kind of a tough week for all of us. Every week's tough for you because your life is an unending parade of horror. But I appreciate you teaming up with me for this podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you all next week. Like I said, tomorrow's Eric next up on the thread on Friday. Until then, Jason, guns up.
Guns up.
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Jason.
Goodbye, John.
I just thought you weren't going to answer me.